So welcome to the talk on CAMES at the Center, an integrated model of documentation and digitization.
Thank you. Thank you, folks. We're happy to be here and happy that you're here. Thank you. And I'll talk louder. And are looking forward to your feedback on our talk as well. So, Joanna Jansen. I'm here from the University of Oregon, the Northwest Indian Language Institute. And we're going to talk today about a model of integrated language documentation and revitalization, using kind of as a metaphor language cultivation, which is nice because one of the projects we'll talk about is about CAMES, or Wakamu, a root food and plant of the of Northwest North America. This is my colleague Reagan Anderson. Our other colleague Jana Undreiner couldn't be here with us. You'll hear her words a bit later, and she's throughout. We want to acknowledge that we're really fortunate to be part of a team of a lot of people working on this language right now, which makes some of what we're going to talk to you about possible. Our hope is that regardless of where you, and it took a while to get here, let me tell you that. So our hope is that regardless of where you are in your own team or projects, that there's pieces of this that are applicable, and maybe that's something too that we can talk about at the end. We'd like to particularly acknowledge the elder that's worked most closely with us, Tukhamshish, Dr. Virginia Biebert. Also elders Arlita Roan and Susie Slakish. We work at the Northwest Indian Language Institute at the University of Oregon. Most of what we're going to talk to you about today is work that's centered at that educational institution, although it's also work that involves tribal teachers, tribal learners, tribal partners in research. So a little bit of an overview, talk about this model of language documentation, a few examples of a project that's based on that model, and then end by thinking about reciprocity and responsibility, specifically about what are our roles as academic institutions and people representing those. A little bit of context, the language that we're both working on talking to you about today is Ichishkin. You might know it as Sahaptin. The Pacific Ocean is over there to the left. The Columbia River separates the states of Oregon and Washington around here, and this is the language area. The University of Oregon is around there. Here's another way to look at that same area. These three pink areas in the middle are the current tribal nations that we work with and with whom we have projects around this language. Right now, mainly the Yakama Nation and the Confederated Tribes of Warm Springs. The language has been taught at the University of Oregon at a summer institute for native language teachers and learners since around 2000. Since 2008, it's been taught as a two-year sequence for UO students that meets their language requirements. The original course materials for that were very much this model of, we did some language documentation, oh my gosh, we're going to teach a language course, we need materials, what are we going to do? Here's what we have. So kind of taking that up and plunking it and saying, what can we build from what we have? That evolved a little bit over time as we thought more about collecting a constellation of texts around a topic. So, and really going to the elders and saying, what's important, what should we talk about? So if, for example, we have a legend text, we could go back and say, okay, well, let's do a little bit of documentation around the place this legend is told. That allows us to have richer documentation and richer curriculum. Still pretty much restricted to documentation and curriculum, but broaden this element of something more place-based. As our partnerships and projects evolved and grew over time, as the number of people who are involved with this language and who are dedicated to the language has grown, we've been able to do more. So projects with tribal partners, these are ANA and NSF projects right now. Increased involvement of elders, mostly through these tribal projects, but also at the Summer Institute. That Summer Institute class Last summer was 23 students. So that class got bigger, more tribal students attending. UO linguistics and language classes involve the elders and language resources more. So these are a resource for linguistics classes. Students from the class have become language teachers, have become linguistics students or started as linguistics students. And another thing that made this able to emerge is that the student projects have really built our work. So Zoe's actually here and did a fantastic student project looking at contrasting cattail and tule that now adds to what we know about those plants, what we can teach about, and what is known in the community. And throughout all our work, as we've heard through the day, that this really allows us to keep asking these questions each time. Who's involved? What's the goals? What's compelling to the people involved? So what we're thinking now is that we have a model of language cultivation, and that this is based on a notion of reciprocity and the idea that within and without the university, together we're part of a moral community that has both social justice goals and scholarly goals. Right now, the pieces that are coming together here are language documentation and description, curriculum and materials, language teaching, language learning, professional development for teachers, and preparation of linguistics students. So Reagan's going to talk a little bit about an application and more.
So this Wakamu project has really taken off and expanded into all of these avenues we didn't necessarily know they would. As at this point, we've had three elders across two different dialects contribute their knowledge, two documentation projects that Joanna will talk about in a little bit, a high school language course at the Yakima Reservation, three university courses, one the language class, the Ichishkin language class, linguistics seminar, and the Summer Institute language class. And I'm going to talk a little bit more about the specifics of the linguistics seminar. And so this seminar was taught in last spring and was about place-based curriculum, language revitalization through place-based education. And this is a picture of Shinishikusha Zoe Tonijiwa. This is Mount Adams in Washington State, and this is a camas field in front of that. And when we asked our elder, Tuchamshish, what would you like to work on? She said, camas. I want students to know more about camas, know more about our foods. And so the people that were involved specifically with this class, Yana Underreiner, the director of NELI, and the professor. This is our elder Tuchamshish. In the language classroom, we had a group of students. This is us out taking a field trip and getting to know our place and exploring that relationship with place that we all had in common. And then this is Roger Jacob. He teaches that high school class up at Yakima. And Greg Sederlicht contributed to what kinds of language needs he has. And some of the goals then were to train linguistic students on how to collaborate with community members, how to work with an elder, not theoretically, not to talk about it, but to actually do it and to interact with her. And this was really possible. A few of the students in the course were also Ichishkin language students, and so Virginia could come in and feel comfortable. She's worked with Yana for very long time. I've worked with her for several years now, and then my students too made it kind of easier. It's better than asking her to come into a room full of strangers and say, hey, show these linguists how to do this or how you want this done. And so to expose some students to the importance of place in education, particularly indigenous education models, to develop curriculum, communities are requesting that linguists come with more knowledge of second language acquisition, second language teaching, curriculum development, you know, there are a lot of components in language revitalization, and linguistics alone is not enough. And language documentation, these projects and some of the projects that we do in the language class as well, really are this original documentation. It's language that has not been collected yet, or building on language that has been collected but could use some more. So things that we hear time and time again from students that are taking this class and also the language class are that really this way of working together and building projects together fosters this community, and it becomes this really beautiful thing that's hard to put into words even here. And that their contribution and the work that they're doing in these classes is really, it's working on things that are going to be used immediately in a way, and building them in a way that people want. And because I'm a language teacher, make me feel better. Can we all say wak-a-mu? Wak-a-mu. That's Camus. That's what we're talking about, Camus. And this is Jana Underreiner talking about training linguistics students and why that's important and how that's different. So I will let you hear her voice here.
Well, I think when we were talking earlier, I said I realized today that in thinking about how I used to focus on training graduate students, and then it came to me one day that you know, here's younger students. I mean, we have a responsibility to, that are interested in language revitalization. Mm-hmm. We have a responsibility for training them. And I think that having a seminar that includes older linguistics students, so juniors and seniors, with graduate students allows the undergrads to not only learn from me, but to learn from the graduate students and to create very meaningful projects. So I think it's a real responsible way for the university to train the up-and-coming generation. I think it allows us to really train them in documentation that comes from the community, so we look at the community needs and we keep that in the forefront of the language that we're going for. Mm-hmm. And it makes them, gives them meaning. There's meaning to what they're doing. Mm-hmm. And it allows them to have a face on the work that they're doing, and knowing that their project is really serving us either here at the university, so we use the Canvas at Mini Summer Institute. Mm-hmm. It goes to Roger, it goes to Greg, it's in the community, it can go to Warm Springs. So I think that's a really meaningful, it makes learning more meaningful, but it inside is an individual. You know, as a learner, I think it makes the whole learning process more meaningful for the student. Mm-hmm. And this is what students tell me anyway.
Yeah. So to build the curriculum, students each chose a topic that they would look into about Camus, Wak-a-mu. And so things like identification, how to identify the plants, and how to differentiate between types of plants. And I don't know if you all are familiar with Camus, and there's also death Camus, and so it's important to be able to identify these. The life cycle of Camus, gathering, preparation, and preservation, and of course, language was a piece of all of these topics. And so we developed lesson plans for each of these topics. I know this is not fun to read, but this is just the high school language teacher, Roger Jacob, he likes to have the times in there. Tell me how many minutes I'm going to be talking about this thing with my students. Give me the full plan. And so we did it very detailed, down to everything that he would need. And then also meeting state standards for science. We looked at that and writing that language. So we can please the university people. The materials that were developed, I just want to acknowledge Kara Romrell. We found out she's the sweetest, shyest, young undergraduate linguistics student, and she was kind of over in the corner on her tablet doing these drawings, and we didn't know, and somebody that she knew better in the class kind of pointed out and encouraged her to share this with the group, and she just turned out to be this incredible artist and really brought this project to life in a way that nobody expected. And she made these cards so that we can use as flashcards, we can use them to prompt further documentation, we can use them for identification. And this is a worksheet that she made. She made an advice poster for students to give advice to the next batch of students that are going to come in and learn what they learned, what tips they want to give. This is a quiz. We had assessments for each of the lessons that the students created. So her art is really present throughout all of these. We had language in all of these, and so this is building on, we went to the dictionary first. What can we find that our elder has already done that we don't have to bother her with? And then build on that. This was a message from Tuchamshish to the Yakima students about the Camas, and what she wanted them to know about it, how to approach them, what to say to the Camas before you dig. And we're going to talk about some of the other applications.
Okay, so then, thank you. This is the group of students who last year attended Neely Summer Institute at 2-week language class. This is only the Itishkin group. So there aren't a lot of folks working on this language. This is a big group of people for this language, and this group has grown. What was really nice was to pick up those materials that were developed in the seminar and use them at Summer Institute. Additional dialects came in. There were elders of two dialects and learners of a couple more dialects. And the elders were motivated and excited because they saw what could come back out from this partnership. And it wasn't, a thumb drive with some boring black and white texts and recordings on it. It was really beautiful, rich materials. This also led to teacher professional development because within the class, we were using the curriculum and materials to learn language. But folks were also getting a sense of how to use the materials in a class, how to adapt materials to a different dialect, to a different level, to a different context. Thinking of additional materials to develop around that, and collecting and using additional recordings. We also had a really great set of lessons in working with the elders who are going, this picture, not so, we want this to look a little different. So that idea of being able to adapt as we went along and learn and change things. Another nice piece of overlap is with some documentation projects that are ongoing for Yakima and Warm Springs, two dialects of this language. This is looking back to older legacy texts and pulling out bits of those texts that relate to Camas. Every once in a while, I can see that, but you can't. Okay. So let's... and again, what we've done with the projects now is that the student-created materials have circled around to serve as prompts for additional documentation. So some of the drawings from Kara can then go to the elders, describe this picture, what would you say about this, what would you call this? We have a series of other pictures from a project at the Confederated Tribes of Grand Ronde that are the preparation of Camas, and again, really nice prompts for documentation. Again, this provides, I feel like it provides the elders an example of not only what can be done with a partnership with the university, but how it can be done. Can it be done with a good heart and good feelings on both sides? So in that way, it is serving to rebuild very heavily damaged trust in academic institutions. And again, we need the feedback. On a number of levels.
Yeah, so Joanna mentioned there's been, a long history of educational institutions harming language, causing language loss intentionally, and now by teaching languages we can honor the value of these languages and indigenous viewpoints and have a responsibility to the communities that we collaborate with to have these kinds of classes, to put designs forth that come from the community, not what we think should be taught or how it should be taught, but in a way that, that really strengthens sovereignty in education. And and it's important for us to give back, and part of that is acknowledging the history, having these hard conversations. Part of our language class, we have some students, this is their language, and they're coming here, and I'm teaching the language. I am not native, and that brings some hard conversations, and it's not language teaching in the classroom, but it's a part of the whole picture, and it's important to talk about. So making space for these things is really a big piece of it. Giving back is another student project, a chore chart for kids this person made, illustrated everything, and that's been a big hit. And so, yes, I think coming back to this idea of cultivation, we work together on what comes up. Not everything is going to be predictable, some things are, and we have to adapt to the context, think about who's involved, who's coming to the table, what kind of expertise do they bring, and not in a trained formal way necessarily, but as individuals, as people. And it allows also for just this constant evaluation of the progress, and to just really be present in the work and look at what needs to be done, and not get too honed in on this, no, we made this plan and we're gonna stick to this plan. But if the plan needs to change, it changes, so.
Thank you. We have about 9 minutes for questions.
Bringing in dialects, did you get a lot of variation when coming up with the materials?
Coming up with materials?
Like when you're developing the teaching materials, as well as the quizzes and things.
Mm-hmm.
Did bringing in additional dialects into Nili affect that, or was that part of a previous project?
No, it didn't change. Didn't change the materials, you mean?
Yeah. Was there any variation?
No, the way that they were done were not. Tried to do them in the way like Kara's picture of the comparison. So writing the comparisons, you can do that in any of the dialects, and so really write in the pieces of the plant. Thank you. And so we can do this across dialects. So if you're speaking Yakima, if you're speaking Warm Springs, this isn't going to hinder that. And so we try to be mindful of that.
But we did have to recreate things to match either dialect.
Okay.
Yes,
but
we
it's
did.
A pretty open, I feel like that group is pretty open in terms of, okay, well, it's better to know how to say it one way than no way. Or if I get to know how to say it two ways, awesome.
Yeah.
So,
and now the cards, there were some words that were totally different, and so we did have to bring in the other dialect and update the cards in that way. And we did that as a class activity. So we work with teachers and students and build on those materials and adapt them for bigger use.
Explain a little bit how this fits into your department's curriculum? Like, what's its role in the program? Like, it's fascinating.
Good question.
I'll
say what I think, and then you can say what you think.
Okay.
I think that it's really important for institutions not just to offer these classes, but to allow them to be taught in a way that is decided by the community. And I think that in my training as a language teacher, I have the language to watch Tuchamshish teach a class and then write down, okay, she assessed in the following ways. She to put the language on the method rather than shaping the method. Does that make sense? Yeah, so I think that we kind of need to flip that. Instead of saying, here, we're this institution, you can have this class, but you have to do it in this way, I think we can do the class in the way that makes sense for the community and write the language around that. It's kind of like a backwards curriculum sometimes in doing it that way, but anything to add to that?
I can talk about the more administrative side of how it fits. So yearly there's a seminar devoted to language revitalization or curriculum that's offered through linguistics. The language class is currently housed in linguistics. And we feel pretty good about that this week, but it's not a class that the university always looks at and says, woohoo, this class is meeting our needs for bringing in diversity, and it has so many students, we love to make money on this class. So that's been, the fact that it's still there, it hasn't always felt real secure, and I don't know that it ever will. I'd like it to, but it might not. But so that's been ongoing, and that there's been support from various departments to house that class. The two-week Summer Institute class is a self-supporting class offered through academic extension of the university, so it's credit-bearing, but it's a different program. So that's how these pieces come together.
Just following up on that, where does the funding come from for the elders who are involved?
That some of it has come through these NSF projects, some of that has come through the linguistics department. So putting together those pieces.
I love the callus this metaphor and this focus of curriculum. Speaking as an ethnobotanist, one of the things, I don't know if you've thought about this with your project, because callus is, like the starch in it is inulin, which requires collaborative human intervention to turn into edible starches and sugars that you might want to extend that at some point to sort of bring that out as well. We've turned for the interior, like northern interior plateau, we don't in most parts of Camas, but we have glacier lilies which have very similar kind of chemical processing, and we've turned it also into indigenous science lessons about how we've had for the archaeological record about 2,500 years this amazing knowledge of applied chemistry to do those things. And I think those can be powerful metaphors as well.
Thank you. Yeah, we haven't yet roasted it at the University of Oregon, but we feel
really
the day is coming. Other questions or comments?
Not in this way yet, and that's a really good question. When do you stop on this? Because I mean, it's kind of endless. The like you're just talking about, there are a million ways to expand this. We have looked at some other plants, and we also bring legends in, thinking about place-based education, and so some plant information and lesson comes in through that. Food is a big component of the language class. We like to eat together. And so in that way we get to talk with Tukhamshish about some of the traditions and food as medicine. And so we haven't gone into the specific detail with other plants yet in this way, but looking forward to it.
And the one of the documentation projects in particular addresses natural resources, and some of that is material that will be curriculum and some of it isn't. And what will, I think, at this point we haven't gone as deep into any other specific resource as this. So it'll be fun to figure out what one, where to go.
Yeah.
Last one question.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you very much.